Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Oh, to the edge of the Charlton penalty area. Pierce heads it away.
Yes!
And there it is! Charlton won! Charlton promoted! We're in the championship!
Lots of people now talking about contracts. This will help in those discussions that you're going to have from the off season. But I guess it's now about just enjoying tonight and enjoying the summer.
Enjoy the night, and then we'll see what happens.
Some big news breaking out of Charlton Athletic in the last hour. The club say they've been unable to agree terms with manager Lee Bowyer over a new contract. Elsewhere, Lee Bowyer says he never wanted to leave the club he loves and is pleased to have agreed a contract extension to his managerial contract at Charlton. The former Addicks midfielder looks set to end his tenure last night, just weeks after guiding Charlton back to the Championship. But this morning, it was revealed he had agreed to a new deal.
Basically, my wife rang me up and said, Lee, like, what's going on? After I'd come off the phone to the owner. So I spoke to Rulon after the statement and I wasn't even aware of it.
And you are now closer to selling the club, it seems, than ever.
Well, it is unclear, but it is certainly not days, if you ask my opinion. So, but it is true that because we came back to Championship, the interest is now improved again.
Who is that?
Back.
Ben Purrington is back.
Johnny, you're now, once again, officially a Charlton player. How does that feel?
Yeah, I'm delighted.
Tom, welcome to the Valley. How does it feel to be a Charlton player?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's going to be tough. Like, there's no getting away from it. At the moment, whenever we think that we've got a player over the line, this is the most frustrating thing for me at the moment, is that whenever we think that we've got a player, then someone just comes and outbids us. And unfortunately, that's something we can't control. And there's some good players that have slipped through our fingers. But that's the hard thing to accept, you know, because like, I do believe if we really had a go, then I think that we could do really well in this league. But it's just tough. Like, I know what the situation is and I accept the situation. I'm not making any excuses. And we have our budget and that's it. And if someone comes and bids more and offers more, there's nothing we can do. We're working all the hours. Myself, Steve Gallen, we're working all the hours that we can and looking at players constantly. Every single day, right up to the evenings and through the evenings. And so it's tough because people are laughing at us. Like, an agent will say, oh, yeah, what do you have to offer for this player? And people are laughing. Like, I've had agents laughing. Like, how are you meant to compete with that, what you're offering? And that's the situation we're in. Whether we like it or not, that's the situation. But we'll just keep going and we will get people in. I know that. But it's just frustrating for myself and Steve when we're working so hard to, and we think we've got someone and then someone just outbids us.
been another fascinating summer here at the Valley. Good evening and welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to gear up for our first season back in the Championship. Oh, it's a packed house. We've got Mr. Tom Wallin over there. How you doing, Tom?
Very good.
You had a good summer?
Yeah, it's been all right. It's gone very fast.
Yeah, you're looking well. It's because we were in the playoffs, as reminded there at the start of the intro. We were in the playoffs, so therefore summer was about 3 days long. Mm. Also here, Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. How was your summer?
Yeah, good. Again, yeah. Went quick, but yeah, happy to be back, mate.
You look like you're buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
I am buzzing, kind of.
We all are in our own way. And also, of course, joining us here is Mr. Nathan Munner. Nathan, how are you feeling?
Living the dream.
Oh, it feels so
Championship
good.
Championship football, baby.
It feels so good to hear Nathan say living the dream after so long without it. Great to have you here as well, Nathan. Good summer?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Looking good on the squad front, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got your boots because we're needing a couple of midfielders,
On our performances on that day after the playoff final. I don't think you're getting a chance.
Yeah, let's say about that. Our one fan who came to watch us that night tweeted us abuse, didn't she? Young Ellie, wasn't it? We're delighted to have you all back here on Charlton Live. On this evening's show, we're going to hear, of course, from the gaffer, Lee Bowyer, who's going to look ahead to our season back in the Championship. He's also going to talk about the possibility of Anthony Dicksteel being a target for Middlesbrough and Bristol City. We'll hear what he has to say on that. We'll discuss all the incomings and the outgoings in pre-season. We'll of course talk about the lack of a takeover we heard there from Roland du Châtelet briefly in the intro. He's been up to his old tricks, hasn't he, throughout the summer, so we'll speak about that. Cardiff released a statement as well. We want to know what you guys think ahead of the campaign. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. you can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Life Forum and have your say on tonight's show. Let us know how you think we're gonna get on this season, because you know we've made a fair few signings, but we've also still got some very big gaps in our squad. So let us know what you think on those methods. And of course, we are going to look ahead specifically to the game with Blackburn Rovers on Saturday. We're going to hear from Rich Sharp from the Lancashire Telegraph. And of course, Lee Bayer once again will tell us how the squad is shaping up in terms of fitness for that game. So, Tom, last season, promotion against all the odds. It was one of the best days of our collective lives over there at Wembley Stadium, when Patrick Bauer, now gone unfortunately, scored the winner. It's been comings and goings, as you'd expect, since then. How are you feeling going into the season? It's a big step up to the Championship.
Massive, yeah. I'm still buzzing about Wembley, to be honest. And I've kind of decided that whatever happens this year, I'm not going to let it ruin that, because we're in for a tough season for sure. But whatever happens this season, even if we finish bottom, nothing can take away what happened last season. Obviously, I hope that doesn't happen. And to be honest, I am fairly hopeful. I don't think we're going to go down. Our squad at the moment is nowhere near enough, big enough. But I have so much faith in Bowyer and the work that he can do. We were just saying off air before the show, I just don't see our team rolling over for anyone. And it's going to be a massive challenge, but I'm just really excited for the season, I think. And ask me again at Christmas when we're really struggling. But at the moment, it's anticipation and excitement, because we're playing some proper teams again. We get to visit some good grounds and we get to test ourselves at a higher level. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Obviously, the mentality around the place towards the end of last season, Lewis, was one of, you know, we're a team chasing promotion. Whatever was happening off the field then and still is now. At the end of last season, we were on excellent form, beating almost every team that we came up against, and we ended it on such a high at Wembley. I mean, that momentum, you assume it's going to be halted by the fact that there has been such a turnover of players. Now, of course, we've brought in a fair amount of defensive players, I think, and you know, I think the defence is pretty much sorted. There's a couple of the strikers coming. Obviously, we've got Johnny Williams again, some big players from last year, but there are, as we know, those gaps in that side now. Midfield, you know, we lost some huge players from there, and possibly even striker as well. We might need at least one more. Well, we definitely need at least one more, maybe two. You know, are we worried that we've wasted an opportunity to build on that momentum, or how are you seeing it yourself?
Well, I mean, I do feel like we've wasted a bit of an opportunity so far. Obviously, the window's open for another week or so. So there's time to get some people in. You know, realistically, it's going to be loans. Would we like some permanence? Of course we would. And when you look at what other people in the league are doing in terms of their transfer business, we just can't compete with that. And that's obviously a real shame, given how much of a high we ended last season on. I think it's going to be a bit of a crash back down to reality, if you like, this season. We know we're not going to win as many games. It's based on how the squad looks at the moment. It's going to be a real struggle. And I think we're going to have to adapt as a club and as supporters to sort of taking it on the chin every now and then. We probably are going to get a hiding a few times this year. But I'm sure, you know, like Tom said there, I've got all the faith in Lee Bowyer, and you know, we've got to get behind him and get behind the squad. And I think that we're good enough to stay up as well. I think it's going to be a real dogfight. It'll probably go down to the last day, but we've got to give it a real go. We didn't have all that hard work last season for nothing. You know, regardless of the squad situation, we've got to give it a real go. We've got to get behind the boys, and that's all we can do, really.
Obviously, Nathan, a lot of people will look at the bookies' odds to see how, from outside, people think we're going to fare, and we're down there as relegation favourites along with Barnsley. I mean, how are you feeling ahead of that? Because the bookies are rarely wrong. And obviously, I mean, Bowyer said that we've got the lowest budget in the Championship, and we're losing out on players to clubs who go and sign for League One clubs. You know, we know we're being laughed at. He said it himself on Saturday. Do you feel as confident as Lewis and Tom that we can stay up?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm relishing it. I'm no pressure. So we're going into it in a predicament where we're not at our strongest, is an understatement. But I think being, you know, the underdog and having all of this sort of stuff going against us, I'm enjoying it. And we've been down in that League One for ages, it seems. And I'm sorry, but if it means I ain't going Rochdale and Gillingham, I'll take this. And I'm like, Tom, I'm going to enjoy it, even if I know we're not going to win every game. But I think we'll be hard to beat. I don't think we'll get pounded. We're not going to win every game. Of course we ain't. But I'm looking forward to it, because I think the pressure's off. Just enjoy yourselves. And I think everyone who's coming back, just get behind the boys, because they're going to need you now more than anything, because we are fighting uphill. And if we can get, if we can try and make our home form as amazing as possible, even if it was a fraction of last year, we've got a big chance.
Guarantee we get Gillingham and Rochdale in both the cups now you've said that. Right, Lee Bowyer had his first press day of the season earlier on today, and he was asked, with all the difficulties and uncertainty off the pitch and a lack of bodies in key areas on it, does he think that the Addicts can be competitive this season?
Define competitive. If you mean at the top end, then I think that's going to be hard with the budget. To stay in the division, then yeah, I think we'll compete. Like I said, we have winners in there. They won a lot last year. Are we going to win as many games this year? Probably not. I'm a realist. But if you ask me, do I think that we'll compete to stay in the division, then yeah, no matter who we bring through the door now, I believe in the players that we have now. I know we would make the right recruitment. And we're bringing the best that we can. And I'm believing in us as coaches and my staff that we'll improve the players that we have. We've done it last year, so we'll do it again this year.
You say you're a realist. Is the target to stay in the division?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, stay in the division and then rebuild. Obviously, the owner's trying to sell the club, and then I don't know when that's going to happen, but if it happened this season, then maybe next season would be a time then you start trying to compete a bit more and just rebuild the club again, I think, and try and make us stable.
So there we go, Lee Bowyer. Defining what you mean by competitive. I mean, you know, he says Charlton are going to go out, they're going to make sure they do everything in their power to stay up. It's going to be tough. We are going to be losing games this season, that's a fact. You know, we have come up from a poor League One into a Championship that is, you know, from the outside, some of the football you see on Sky Sports watching the Championship this last couple of seasons, it looks like a hell of a step up. I actually asked Rich Sharp from the Lancashire Telegraph, because of course Blackburn made that jump the season before we did. And are you moisturising there, Nathan? in the middle of the show, amazing. And he said it didn't seem so much of a step up for Blackburn, but don't forget they probably had a Championship squad in League One 2 years ago. So it's going to take a lot of getting used to being back in at that level where, you know, there's some very good teams, you know, that we're going to be coming up against over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and my positivity, like, I am looking forward to the season. I am relishing the challenge. I'm not stupid enough to think that this is going to be easy. This is going to be a real struggle. And you asked Lewis earlier whether this is a missed opportunity. It's a massive missed opportunity, because with four or five more players, I really think we could make a good push for it. But Roland's made the decisions he has. That's not doesn't look like it's going to be happening, so we've got to make do. It's going to be a struggle for sure, but Boya said it, we can surprise a few teams. And I don't think, since he's been manager, I don't think Boya's been wrong about very much. Even in the games we've lost or when we've been down, you know, he's, everything he says still seems to come to pass. And I've just got so much faith in him. And Nath was right earlier that home form's going to be so key. And we said it on the comms against Villa. It's so important that if we do start to lose a couple of games or we do go a goal down early at home against the likes of a Stoke or a, someone who's spent a lot of money, we've got to stick behind the boys, because you know that this team is never going to give up. You know they're going to fight for absolutely everything. And with the crowd behind them, who knows? It's going to be tough. I would fully expect us to be in the lower half of the table, but if we can get up there a little bit towards mid-table, for me, that's a massive achievement.
I mean, there's still a week to go in the transfer window. It closes in before the home game against Stoke next week. In fact, I think we'll have a live big match preview transfer deadline day special as well, so that'd be quite interesting. I mean, how vital is it, Lewis, that there's five loanees up for grabs? How vital is it that we fill those spaces?
Massively, because you look at what we require and it's in key positions, and we've got big bodies to replace. You know, we've already touched on the fact that we've lost the likes of Josh Cullen, Joe Aribo, Christian Bielik as well. It's going to be tough to try and get that sort of profile of player in. But then again, I think Boya touched on it in his press day today. Clubs are going to look at what we did with the likes of Christian Bielik and Josh Cullen last year in terms of their development, and they're going to want to send their young players here to progress in the men's game. And that can work to our benefit, of course, but we have got a lot of business to do, and I'm hoping that Boya gets everything over the line that he wants. I mean, I'm trying not to get too down about it, because we were in a really similar position this time last year. I imagine if you listen to our big match preview, Sunderland away last year, we were in a similar mood in terms of squad size and squad capability, and look how we ended up. So
yeah,
try not to get too down. So
of course, in a weird benefit this year, because last season we could loan players all the way pretty much up to the end of August, we had the first five games before we had a squad that was filled. Whereas this year it ends earlier, so hopefully that will help us in terms of getting all our bits and pieces in place after only one game, which in a way will surely help us. The signings that have come in so far, Nath, who do you think is standing out for you?
I like Lockyer. I know a lot of people on the forum don't really like him, but everyone loves a scapegoat early doors, don't they? But no, I like Lockyer. He looks quite solid. Deji's big and strong. But I still think the key areas that we needed are those three that have been missing. So I think it's the key signings are going to be these loans. And obviously with the Bielik and Cullen, well, not obviously, but it looks like they're not coming. It's going to be important to replace those. Replacing Aribo, Bielik and Cullen ain't going to be an easy feat. But I like what he's done defensively, which is good, because you've got to start from the back. It's any fundamental game of football, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Over the course of the summer, we sort of had it in the montage at the start. There, it's been a fairly interesting summer, as we're getting used to now these days, Tom. Fairly early on, we got to the stage where it didn't look like Lee Bayer's contract was going to be secured, and then all of a sudden, there's a statement on the website saying that we have failed to come to an agreement. 2 hours later, it's sorted. I mean, what was going through your mind then? Because if Boyer goes and we're still under these constraints, then we could have been in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, that was it. That was it for me. I tried not to be too hot-headed in those sort of situations and too reactive. But honestly, if he'd have gone, I'd have seriously debated whether I wanted my season ticket this year, because I understand to a point the cost-cutting measures and everything else that he's got with his view to trying to, in inverted commas, trying to sell the club. But you, with what Boya achieved last year, you give him the world. You give him absolutely everything, because he's the reason everything last season happened. Him along with Gallen and Jacko and the squad they built, that all comes from the manager. And I was so angry when I saw him come out that he hadn't given him what he wanted. Like I say, I was ready to just turn my season ticket back and say, no, I'm done now. But as things go, it's a typical Roland mess. And like you say, 2 hours later, I don't remember ever seeing anything like it in football before. It's from the sound of it, Boya didn't even know that he wasn't wanted at the club anymore. Seems like the statement was put out in a fit of rage once again, along with yesterday's, by the sound of things. Or was it today he put one out? Complete mess. I'm just so glad at the end of it we come out with Boya still in charge. But well, it's just another one to add to the long list, isn't it?
I mean, it highlights the difficult situation that he has to work under, Lee Bowyer, Lewis. And, you know, it ties his hands behind his back in terms of the budget that he now has. I mean, Tom mentioned, you know, Roland he's talking about cost-cutting to try and make the club more attractive, but I kind of see any owner worth their salt who's going to come in and eventually buy it off him is going to try and run it on a shoestring like that. So it doesn't make any sense. He'd come in and spend a bit more money anyway. So I don't really see why that makes much sense. But I mean, it's so confusing as to why he's still here. I mean, we saw the statement and the chat he had on TalkSport throughout the week where he's sort of implying that you'd be mad to take over a Championship football club. And to an extent, again, you can understand, yeah, Championship football clubs are expensive to run and they do lose a lot of money, but that's what the case is. I mean, again, if the financial fair play rules changed since you came in, there's an easy way out of it for it to no longer be your problem. Just sell it. Sell it at a much more reasonable price. And everyone, because you have had buyers interested, they will take it off your hands and they will take over those running costs, which they're not stupid. They're well aware of.
Well, exactly, and sort of putting Lee Bowyer's hands behind his back in terms of a budget is surely making it less attractive of a prospect. Because if by the time he sells, which, you know, God only knows when that's going to be, we're back in League One again, it's not as attractive. No matter what he says about how expensive it is to run a club in the Championship, if you got an offer to go and buy a club at the moment which is in the Championship, that it's got a manager that everybody backs and is behind, it's got the fans sort of turning back on side in terms of the playing staff, the high of promotion, it's an attractive prospect. If you come back in next summer, buy at a lower price, of course, but we've just been relegated. We've just lost a load of players. We might have lost Lee Bowyer halfway through the season because he's getting fed up and another club's come in and taken him from our hands. And how does that make it a more attractive prospect? I just think how he's made his money, I'll never know, because in terms of, it's just simple business, surely, that to sell it while it's attractive. And the asking price, like you said the other day on TalkSport, saying that he hasn't upped the price, we all know that isn't true. So,
well, yeah, there's certainly an assumption it was, and there was. I mean, Simon Jordan said he didn't think it was the case.
It's just a bit ridiculous, and what I think it's crazy how much Lee Bowyer has taken on his shoulders in terms of keeping the club afloat with the fans. Because, like you say, like Tom said there, if we'd lost Lee Bowyer in the summer, it would have been absolute chaos going into this season.
Well, a statement came out this afternoon from CARD as well, actually, the Coalition Against Roland Du Châtelet, said, as a result of Lee Bowyer's fine works and the efforts of the staff and players last season, Roland Du Châtelet was gifted a window of opportunity to sell Charlton to one of the several interested parties. He once again has failed to do so and now claims that the parties have been deterred by the level of investment needed. They dispute this with some facts that come up and said, like, the amount of clubs that haven't lost £15 million a year, which is what he sort of implied that Championship clubs have to do. It talks about clubs being sold and bought in the Championship since the changes to the financial fair play took hold in 2016. So they've refuted a lot of what Du Châtelet has said. And now they've added that they are going to start to plan lawful direct action over the next few weeks and months in terms of protests against Roland Du Châtelet and his collaborators, Richard Murray, of course, a non-executive chairman here, and Livin de Turk, Roland's right-hand man over here, trying to sell the club from Belgium. So, interesting. I mean, it's with the way that, you know, we have got promoted last season, but that doesn't really make any difference to the way that Roland's operated. So therefore, you're not surprised it doesn't make any difference to the fact that Card is still frustrated by it, Nath.
No, but it's hard because every time I read about it, it's just boring. It's boring. It's so boring. I'm just bored of it all. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to affect him or not. I mean, we all want it to affect him, and when he comes out and says, you know, you have to make a lot, you don't have to do anything. No one's holding a gun to his head saying you've got to own us. You could sell us, you could run it better. That's how you make save more money. But yeah, I don't know, it's not going to change anything really. And that's, it's just that everlasting dark cloud that seems to be hanging over him, which we're trying to shoo away somehow and wishing Michael Fish can choose that or say that's going away, but it's not. And until the day he someone is crazy enough to meet his valuation or the so-called valuation, then it's going to be like that.
Fabio tweets and said, you should get Richard Murray to have a first comment on the new Charlton card press relief, although he's confident that he won't pick up the phone. And then Valley Voice says, more card drivel. Do they not realise that it's like Groundhog Day, push him too much and he will fold the club? I mean, he's not going to fold the club, Valley Voice, because then he does lose all of his money. And that would, I mean, that would, doesn't make any sense. I mean,
you never know.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
You would write it off.
Yeah. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Let's remember some happier times. When we come back, we're still going to discuss the rumours around Anthony Dixtill at the moment. We're going to talk about, in more in depth, the players that have come in. And, of course, we've still got to look ahead to next season and to Blackburn Rovers coming up on Saturday.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Johnny. Yeah!
It is! He's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live. Now, there is one bit of audio that is never, ever going to get old. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking ahead to the brand new championship season. Blackburn Rovers away for the Addicts coming up this Saturday as we get ready to take on a higher division. Now, first things first, I think we'll address the situation with Anthony Dixtill. Now, of course, we have lost a few players this summer. Plenty of loanees have gone back. We've lost big players like Joe Aribo, Patrick Bauer, of course. So we're in a situation where we don't really want to be losing anymore. Now, we know that last week a bid did come in for Anthony Dixtill. We were told that it was declined by Roland du Châtelet. Boyer said this, I think, on Saturday or at some point during last week. Now, he was asked about that again today, and there has been an update.
Yeah, so Anthony Middlesbrough came in. The owner said he's not for sale. So we've spoken to the owner, explained the situation. Middlesbrough's come in again, and Bristol City are interested as well. It's another young lad that he's only had one full season last season, and then now all of a sudden clubs are interested. So it shows that the work we're doing here behind the scenes is good. Looks like Christian Billick's going to be going to Derby for like 10 million now. This time last year, what was he worth? You know, so Josh Cullen is now playing. He's in and around West Ham's first team. They're keeping him. Joe Aribo's gone and playing in Scotland. So it's... But Carlin went to Huddersfield. All these young lads that have come here are now blossoming somewhere else and moving on. And it's good to see, like, for me as a coach and my coaching staff, to see these players come and develop. But it's hurting us at the same time, you know, because obviously we've lost Joe, Anthony, don't know what's going to happen with Anthony. Carden left at a crucial time of the season last season, so it's difficult because we have to keep juggling and trying to rebuild. But it shows that we're doing good work. So then at West Ham, the Arsenals, they see what we do with their kids when they do loan them to us, and so we can build that relationship for the future.
So there we go. Some good news in there. That obviously the way that we've improved, some of these loanees that have come to us, is going to be a good sign to big clubs. They might want to send their players to us again. But we're all going to just concentrate on the Anthony Dixtill bit first, because he's the player who's currently in our squad. Who Boyer, I mean, he did say he doesn't know what's going to happen. Now, if du Châtelet has turned down the first bid, you hope he's going to stay strong and turn down the second bid. And there has been windows at times where we thought, oh, so-and-so's definitely going to go this window, but they don't. But eventually players do tend to go, and if there's money to be had, then you won't be surprised if he takes it. I mean, we've got Solly as well, had his testimonial last weekend, but I mean, defence is pretty much the only place where we've currently got two players in every position, and Anthony's really come on over the last season or so. So, I mean, it would be disappointing if we were to lose him.
Yeah, I'd be gutted.
obviously we could use the money to spend elsewhere, couldn't we? So I'm sure Roland
will see a penny of that.
Yeah. No, that's going straight in his back pocket. And we were just saying off air there, the rumour is about 2 million for my money. If that's what gets offered, he's gone. I can't imagine Roland turning that amount down, although obviously we don't know. I don't know what the first bid was. But yes, we've got Solly and we know how reliable Solly is and we know he has done it at this level in the past. But as we've said, the defence is our strongest part and we've got two people for every position. And my worry is as soon as you start reducing that, then that becomes an issue as well. And you're right, Anthony's come on a lot. He's obviously unproven at this level. I'm really excited to see what he can do. But I wonder if a club who perhaps is trying to make playoffs or even the top two is really the place for him at the moment, at this stage in his career. Be about whether Boya can have that conversation with him and whether, of course, Roland can continue to turn those offers down. But, yeah, he's certainly a player I'd like to keep hold of. We know Solly struggles playing the old Saturday, Tuesday. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. As far as I'm concerned, if the right offer comes in and it sounds like those teams are pretty persistent and there's a bit of a bidding war going on, Roland will take the money and run.
I mean, obviously, Bo's there also talking about the players that we did have last season that we have lost. The likes of Joe Rebo, Cullen and Billick. I mean, Cullen is going to stay at West Ham. Billick, it sounds like, is going to sign for Derby for big money that we couldn't even dream of spending. I mean, there is a huge hole in that midfield. I mean, I'm brilliant that Johnny Williams has signed on. He's going to be big for us. And Nike can play 10 as well. He looks the part from what I've seen. I wasn't there on Saturday, but elsewhere in other preseason games, he's looked the part. Deji Osialaja can play at the base of a diamond. But, I mean, there's no denying that we're light in terms of experience in midfield and perhaps championship quality. I mean, Pratley has got the experience. Lapsley and Morgan are probably too young for the championship. I mean, Lapsley has had a fair bit more football than Morgan has. Morgan's probably going to go out on loan, according to Bowyer. I mean, it's clear that we are light in that area, isn't it?
Oh, massively. And obviously in that list as well, we got Forster Caskey. Didn't really kick a ball last year because he was injured. And it's a step up for him as well to come in. And he's probably, is he completely match fit at the moment? Probably not, even with the pre-season behind him. So that's going to be a tough step up for him. Prattley was really important towards the tail end of League One, but can he cope in the championship starting as well? I'm not too sure. And you mentioned Lapsley and Morgan, both. I have a feeling Lapsley's got enough to make the step up. I feel like Lapsley's going to have a really big season this year. And to be honest, I'd be surprised if Bowes loans out Morgan at the moment because we haven't got anybody at all.
Mm.
It depends what happens now, but obviously between now and next week. So we'll see. But yeah, midfield, we're hugely short and it's so important, especially a lot of battles are won in midfield and we haven't really got anyone.
It's hard really right now to gauge exactly where the squad is going to end up because we don't know until next week really in terms of those loanee signings. But yeah, we're certainly looking light in places. But I mean, we have had some players that have come in. The first one was Macaulay Bond. We've had, these are in no particular order because then I couldn't remember what order they came in, but Chucks and Ike joined, Tom Lockyer, Ben Perrington came back, Ben Amos came back, which was a surprise. We've got two very good goalkeepers there in my opinion, Johnny Williams, Deji Osialaja, all coming in. Taylor Maloney has just joined Newport County on loan in the last few moments as well, so that's another one out, but he was unlikely to be a starter this season. But Naif, you're looking at that list of players that have come in. I mean, who stands out for you? Who do you think could be the key men to make a difference?
I think Lockyer would be up there. I think Deji was a very shrewd signing. I can't see him playing defensive midfield too much. I mean, he's solid, but he's just footballing brain isn't as neat as it would be a Billick, but Billick was saying different. But I can see him slotting in at three at the back. I can see us playing three at the back quite regularly this season. But yeah, I like Lockyer. He's good on the ball. I know it was a couple of times at Villa where he gave it away, but at least he's having a go. He looks a lot more composed than Bauer on the ball. So, yeah, I think Lockie's going to be good, but we haven't really had much going forward in terms of the final third, and I think that's what's, like I said earlier, going to be the exciting signings, if you were.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's going to take time for players to bed in and that, and pre-season is never really a judge, but you look at some of the results in pre-season, Tom, do you worry about the fact that we get beat a couple of times at Gilles, at Ebbsfleet, and obviously Aston Villa are a very good team, but at the same time we go and win a couple of games as well. We won well at Daggers, we won at Colchester. I mean, do you read too much into any of those results?
Not at all, no, not for me. I've
I've only seen us live in the Welling game, which I'm not going to judge at all because it's first game of pre-season, and then Villa. Obviously did comms for anyone who's listening to Valley Pass, and I thought we were all right. For best part of an hour, we were okay. Obviously, we still conceded. I accept that. I'm not going to say we were brilliant, but Bowyer said it all in his post-match. We gave away sloppy goals, and we had chances. We had a few counter-attacks. Okay, we didn't finish them off, but we were prepared to have a go from the edge of the box. We were getting players in the right positions. You know, I'm not optimistic enough to say nothing to worry about, everyone, but we were okay. And this is a side that has spent 120 odd million in the summer. They've got to the Premier League. They deserve to be there. They've got the likes of McGinn, Trezeguet and Grealish in the middle who absolutely ran the show. And yes, we tired towards the end. And, you know, in the end, we were comprehensively beaten, but we had our chances. And on another day, that could easily have been 4-4. We did have shots. And as I say, we gave away some sloppy goals. So that's the only game I've seen in its entirety and can fully give a view on. And to that end, that's why I'm quite optimistic, because I think there's a lot of good there. It's just the squad depth is the main issue, and like you've all said, that hole in midfield is just massive. How do you replace the likes of Cullen, Bielik and Aribo? It's almost impossible, and so far we've replaced them with absolutely no one. If we don't get anyone in there, then we're in for a very tough season, but I'm sure someone is going to come in.
Yeah, right. I'll open the floor up, of course, to the listeners, as we always do here on Charlton Live. Wayne says, what have we got to get excited about? I'll be going up to Blackburn on Saturday, but seriously, I'm not expecting much. The situation with our club is an utter disgrace. Cliff Scale says, evening, gents. Glad to have you back. It's going to be a roller coaster this season with plenty of ups and downs, but this time last season, never in a million years did I think we would be in the Championship the next year. Let's enjoy it and see where it takes us. It's going to be a tough one, but last season proves that anything can happen. Remember, this team never gives up. Daniel Trafin, good evening to you. Looking forward to having Charlton back on, Charlton Live back on air, and we're pleased to be back. Peter O'Sullivan says, the press day today was pretty depressing. He was hoping that Charlton Live could lighten the mood a bit, so we're going to try and do our best for that. Jim says, we may not have a takeover, we may not have had a new signing this week, but we do have Charlton Live back, and that's the most important thing. Rob Waghorn, things will come together, people. Keep the faith and back Bowyer and the whole team. It's going to be a good season. Dare to believe the players will be worth the wait. Cappuccino says, welcome back. Cheers, Cap. Cliff Scales. So I'm asking where people think we'll finish. Cliff says, we're going to surprise a few teams. I predict we will finish 14th. Hopefully. I'm predicting 18th. What did I say? 18th. I'm going for that so far, hopefully. Tony Frost says he hopes that he's right. Sammy says we will be okay. I'll say we'll finish about 17th. Shimpad says, I need some reassurance that everything is going to be okay. Nathan, can you provide any of that?
Yeah, we're finishing 12th.
Oh, there we go. Sorted. Cancelled the season. There we go. Well, if Nathan's happy, then I'm happy. Rod says, nice to meet you at the wedding on Saturday. Yeah, Rod was the DJ for my brother's wedding. And if anyone wants a Charlton supporting DJ, I can recommend. Yeah. He was very good. He says that as things stand, without those five new players signed up, the strikers in the midfield is not strong enough. So I think we would just stay up. But with five quality players signed, we might surprise everyone like last season with the team spirit. Vital Charlton says, I know this season is going to be tough, but we all fought the last season. And look at what happened. It is because we believed in the team. And if we believe in the team, just like we did last season, there is no telling what we can do this campaign. Dodger says, united we stand, divided we full. Dylan is sat at home having a beer, Charlton Live on in the background, whilst me and my old man talk about the plan for Saturday. Can't wait for the football season to restart. That sounds like bliss to me, Dylan. And then Adele has warmed up her vocal cords. Here she is. Hello, it's me, looking forward to the season ahead. Hope everyone gets behind the lads. And that's Adele. I'm sure everyone will. I think the good thing is, and obviously, you know, fans can only play so much of a part, and a lack of investment in the team is going to be a big part as well. But fans will stick with the players, and you know they will, and hopefully they'll stick together as well. It's going to be a long season, I think. You know, even if we do get these five in, it could be a tough season. I'm hoping it won't be as bad as a lot of people are worried it will be, but there's always a danger it will be. But even then, you just hope that everyone will sort of be able to stick together to some extent. Anyway, right, let's start getting ready to look forward to the Blackburn Rovers game just after this break here on Charlton Live, the big match preview.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it's going to break for Vetticelli again in the area. Cross ball to Taylor! It's 3-1! And Charlton are running away with it here at the Valley!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live, the big match preview coming to you live on your Thursday evening or via the podcast afterwards. Don't forget to hit subscribe on our podcast feed on Acast or iTunes or anywhere else that you can get your shows. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and keep us going here on Charlton Live. Right. Blackburn Rovers coming up Saturday. Got promoted the year before we did. So I thought it was quite an interesting start for us, really, isn't it? Blackburn, having had that extra year in the Championship, also knowing what it's like to make the step up from League One to the second tier of English football. So I caught up with Rich Sharp. He's from the Lancashire Telegraph. And I asked Rich how Rovers are shaping up for the new season.
Yeah, not too bad. I think got a fairly settled squad, to be honest. 5 new additions so far. They might possibly bring in another one before the window, but they've got plenty of players under contract and no real major surgery needed. So the big word's been stability over the last few years, particularly since Mowbray's taken charge, and I think they're hoping that will probably carry him into a decent position next season. There's obviously been a lot of managerial changes across the Championship and a few unknowns, and Rovers are probably one of the few who are going into it fairly settled, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously last season was their first season back up there after the promotion. It was a fairly comfortable 15th place finish. What do you think the aims are for this season? Do you think they've got realistically going to start looking further up the table now?
Yeah, to be fair, it was disappointing how they fell away last year. They won 4 games in a row in January, and that moved them up to 8th, and they were 2 points outside the playoffs, and things were looking really rosy, and then they won one of the next 11, and that's the kind of thing that can happen in the Championship. And then they finished the season with 4 wins out of 6. So it really was a contrasting season, a bit of disappointment how the season fell away, but 15th place, 60 points. They'll certainly be looking to try and hit 70 if they can, and they can probably crack the top 10, and a possible outside playoff push probably be the aim. But yeah, certainly look to kick on and improve on last season. It'll be the first aim.
Well, how did Rovers find the step up in quality from the two divisions? I mean, obviously they weren't away from it for that long, but as Charlton fans coming back into the league after 3-4 years away, you sort of forget how good the quality can be. I mean, did you notice a massive step up between League One and the Championship?
I think, obviously, the year Rovers went up, they went up with Wigan and Rotherham, who were, they all came down the year before, so the 3 that came down went straight back up. So I think there is a big difference. But I think there's still enough in that division to think there's enough sides that you can finish above. Rovers never went into the season thinking they were going to be scrapping around the bottom 4, bottom 5, but I mean, obviously, Rotherham went down again and Wigan struggled, so there is a big gap, and you're coming up against big budgets, parachute payments, big crowds, so you're at a disadvantage from the balls being kicked. But I think there's enough encouragement there that coming up from League One, using that momentum, if you can, to really kick on. And so I didn't think it was as big as it possibly could have been, but then, like you say, Rovers, in league, they played in League One with a Championship squad, pretty much. So they were already in a decent position when they did go up.
Now, you mentioned, of course, some of the transfer business that's gone on at Ewood Park. I mean, who are the standout players for you that have come in this summer?
the big signing was Sam Gallagher. They splashed out $5 million on him. They've been trying to get him for the last two windows, to be honest, and he was there when they went down from the Championship a couple of seasons ago. So he's been the big money move. The big news is probably they sold the goalkeeper, David Raya. He went for initial $3 million to Brentford. They brought Christian Walton in on loan from Brighton. Stuart Downe and Bradley Johnson, a bit of experience in there. And they've just brought in Tosin Adarabayo from Man City on loan. So five additions so far. I think they were probably looking for five or six, so they probably ticked most of the boxes. But also keeping hold of Dak. Fingers crossed, with a week to go, he'll still be a Rovers player. So I think everyone's fairly content. I think they probably need another signing to make everybody completely happy, but I think they're shaping up pretty well.
And of course, Tony Mowbray, the manager there, has he been sort of the right man at the right time over the last couple of years for Blackburn?
Yeah, things seem to have calmed down since he's come in, to be honest, both on and off the pitch. They've got a chief executive who's based at Ewood Park now. A manager who's brought things together, and there's a lot better feeling around the club than certainly there was when they went down from the Championship, and I think Moby can take great credit for that. This is coming into his third season now, so I think he's probably thinking he's going to be judged that bit more on how they do. They probably had a bit of a free hit last year with, you know, consolidating in the Championship, and I think now people are wanting to see him move forward. But yeah, particularly on and off the pitch, things are a lot more stable than they have been in recent seasons.
Yeah, because of course you talk about that instability. I mean, Charlton fans know that very well themselves, but the Blackburn did have the issues with the Venkies, and they're still there, but like you say, things just seem to have smoothed over a little bit now. Is that fair to say from the outside?
Yeah, I think there's obviously the issues of the past, but like I said, I mean, Venkies have continued to invest. I think that's one thing that you can never really criticise, is the level of investment has been in there. They've put money into the playing squad. It was probably, the money was spent in the wrong areas. I think that was the main criticism. But they've got people in charge now who know the game and can run in the football club, really. And they're just in the background, really, paying the bills as such. So whatever that's going on, I think they're never going to get brushed over, but they're certainly more in the background than we've seen. And I think a lot of it comes down to, on the pitch and off the pitch, things are fairly stable and just ticking along nicely. And like you say, the situation at Charlton and all the other clubs, I think Rovers have obviously gone through the troubles in the past, but things do certainly seem to have calmed down on that front. There's obviously still people who stay away while they'll be in charge, and they've obviously got the reasons for doing so, but they probably move further away from the conversation. I think that's probably one thing you can say.
So looking ahead to Saturday, I mean, you mentioned Bradley Dack. I'm certain he'll be one danger man for Charlton fans to look out for, but who else should the Addicts faithful be wary of on Saturday in the Blackburn side?
Adam Armstrong's probably been my man of pre-season. He scored 9 in all competitions last year, and I think he's certainly been back to improve that this year. He's been playing as like a wide striker for Rovers, coming in off the right, playing very high up the pitch though, darting in and using his pace to get in behind. So I think can see him having a good season this year. So particularly his link up with Dak, I think could be one thing to watch this season.
There we go. Rich Sharp from the Lancashire Telegraph, giving us the lowdown on Blackburn Rovers. It makes me feel absolutely sick to hear another team in the Championship, a mid-table team at that, spending £5 million on a striker when we haven't spent £5 million on anything for years and years and years. It's outrageous.
Ever.
Yeah. Blackburn, good test for an opening day, I guess, Lewis. You know, I say they've got a bit of know-how. I think when they went up from League One, they were a good side, like we were last season. But they've seemed to have, you know, kept important players like Bradley Dack from that year. So yeah, it'd be an interesting one.
Yeah, I must say I'm probably a bit surprised actually that Bradley Dack's still there in this window. I thought he might have moved on. So keeping hold of him, if they do, will be a big coup for them. And obviously bringing in Sam Gallagher and they've brought in Stuart Downing as well. They've got a couple of good players, and I think they've got a good keeper in Simon Walton as well. Simon Walton, I think it was Chris Walton, sorry.
Yeah. I saw Bradley Dack in Bexley Heath bowling alley once, actually, but I don't know if that's going to have any effect on proceedings.
Maybe
on Saturday
Ronan's
or not.
Five minutes.
If I see him and I say, "Oh, you missed. You only got a spare," could get in his head. Right, Sarah Saunders. Hi all, great to have you back. I'm looking forward to the season. I know it's going to be hard, but no one supports Charlton for an easy life. It's because we love them. Bring on the ups and the downs. CFC Facts and Stats says four players short, three midfielders to replace Cullen, Billick and Ariblo, plus Grant has not been replaced up front. The Boyer factor will keep us up, but if we get off to a slow start, then the irrational Du Châtelet could sack him. The fans will react if that happens. He's predicting a 21st place finish. Shimpad says, anyone know if Valley Pass will be streaming on Saturday for those that are outside the UK? I actually don't know. So you have to contact the club for that one, I'm afraid, Shimpad. I haven't spoke to anyone. Lawrence says, hi guys, I'm so glad you're back. My commute will sound normal. Well, what a boring summer. I'm glad Love Island is over. That's a little matter of the championship. We've recruited smartly. Still we need players. However, we won't get Billick or Cullen. I think Harriet could do a job for us. Now, there's someone we haven't mentioned at all, actually. Callum Harriet, been training with the club. I have a love-hate relationship with watching Callum Harriott play football because he is the most frustrating player on earth. But at the same time, he does have Boyer said it himself, he's got a little bit of something that we don't really have. We don't have someone who can chuck in a little bit of magic or a little bit of a step over at the, you know, and just create something out of nothing, which, you know, on his day, Callum can do. And I think there's been a couple of occasions in pre-season, Nath, where Callum's done that for me. So would you take a punt on him?
As a squad player, yeah, I would. He was our best player at Colchester, but that's not something to be proud of. We weren't that great. But I think, like you just said, he offers us something different. I think he can play in a 10. He can play on the left of a 4. He can play a left of a 3 up top. So he's versatile, but I'm with you. He is frustrating. On his day, he can be unplayable, but I just think sometimes his decision-making lets him down. Mm. But if he does sign, I can't see him being anywhere near the team if we get 5 loans in. But, yeah, I agree. He could offer something, but I don't think he's going to pull up any trees.
Yeah, Phil messages in saying, like all Charlton fans after the playoff trial final, I was looking forward to the return to the championship with optimism and hoping for a new owner, but I couldn't have been more wrong. Whilst Arsenal today have broken their transfer record, our billionaire owner won't even sanction a few free transfers. As things stand, we are woefully short in midfield and up front and can't even compete with League One clubs. One positive is Boyer, and fingers crossed he'll be able to pull off some decent loan signings. Good luck this season. That's from Phil. Cheers, Phil. London Innit Geezer says, looking forward to Blackburn on Saturday. Win or lose, we are on the booze. Yeah, what happens if we draw, though? I mean, do you have to go teetotal if there's a draw? Who knows? Right, Red Chasers, welcome us back on the Charlton Live Forum. Cheers, Red Chaser. Southwest Addict says, three targets for this to be a successful season. We've got to stay up, we've got to beat Millwall, and Rowlands is finally selling up. Hopefully, he said he'll happily settle for two of the three. Well, which ones would you go for out of those three? So you could only have two out of them. So staying up, Millwall winning, and Rowlands selling up. Lewis?
Staying up and rolling going.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
You haven't beat Mill for about 100 years.
Yeah.
What's one more year?
Exactly. What one more year?
It doesn't make any difference. Yeah. We have to wait a little bit longer.
And it's not snowing. So
yeah. A little bit longer for Millwall. Mendon Krenazza says, welcome back, guys. Please, Rowlands, not flogged you off to the highest bidder. Yeah, I mean, I'm open to offers. If anyone's got a few more quid than what I pay myself for this, which is nothing, then I will happily go somewhere else.
I'm a mercenary. I'll go.
Yeah. Right, let's continue looking ahead to Saturday. Lee Boyer, of course, as we said, had his press day today. It's a really long one, so if you want to see more of it, it's over there on Valley Pass. But he was asked how we're shaping up for Saturday in terms of injuries.
We've got 2 out with hamstrings. Sometimes you do pick up injuries in pre-season because you're pushing them to their limits, you know. So, yeah, 2 with hamstrings, and we're okay in that area. So, thankfully, we've got another left-back to cover Paige. Chatsunike, he's been good pre-season as well, so he's going to be a miss, but it's not so bad. I think it's just this game he's going to miss, so we should hopefully have him back for the next.
They had quite a good first half of last season, didn't they?
Yeah. Obviously, we played them a couple of years ago in our division when we was in League One. They're going to be well organised. They're going to be solid team. They have players that can hurt you. They're going to be the same as any other team. They're going to have strengths and weaknesses, you know. We're the same. We have strengths, we have weaknesses. So, I'd say that this is probably a good time to play us because of the size of our squad at the moment. But we'll go there and compete.
I know that, and the players that do turn out on Saturday will give everything. But Blackburn, they've got a good, experienced manager, and he's been in the game a long time. And but we'll turn up and we'll respect them, and I'm sure they'll respect us as well.
I'd say we're fitter now than we was this time last year. We're probably one or two players more in the squad than what we started with last year. Last year we was going to Sunderland and we couldn't even fill the bench. So this year, as it stands today, then we can fill the bench. So we're a little bit ahead of this time last year.
Are your selection options going to be restricted at Blackburn?
Yeah, for sure. Because at the moment we have Lowell Taylor, Corley Bond, two strikers, the only two strikers in the building. And McCauley's not quite ready yet, so to start. So, we're limited up in the attacking third. We're from the back, we're solid. We've got two very good goalies competing. We've got eight defenders, one's out. So we've got two for every position, and we're solid everywhere in the back. But in the middle of the park, we're short on numbers, and the attacking third is where we need to strengthen. So the five players we'll be bringing in will all be midfielders or strikers.
It goes without saying the Championship's going to be far tougher than the League One. What are you expecting from it? And what's the essential difference between the two divisions?
I'm expecting it to be tough physically, more physically. I think it's going to be quicker. Teams hit you on the break with real pace, and they're more ruthless. We witnessed all of that on Saturday. The one thing I've noticed by watching all the teams in that division is that they hurt you more. In League One, they might need two or three chances to score, where in this division, what I've noticed, and that they don't need as many chances. They just hurt you. They just punish you, and that's going to be our biggest challenge, because we're going to be expansive. We're going to try and play, and nothing's going to change. We're going to play football, and we're going to give the ball away. So we've just got to make sure we're solid under the ball, so we can try and stop them from having any chances.
There we go, Lee Bowyer. You're looking ahead to Saturday's season opener up at Ewood Park, Blackburn Rovers. Straight into the injury news then. Chuck Sanike did pull up, didn't he, during the Aston Villa game, and he is going to miss this one. Hopefully only that one, by the sounds of it. Similar to Gillingham, really. I think he wasn't out for too long, was he? But we are going to be missing him. And Lewis Page, as we know, is not going to be fit. He was injured against, was it Gillingham as well? Yeah, and he was set to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. So not a great start in terms of fitness of the squad, considering where we need to be, Tom.
Yeah, standard though for us, isn't it? And obviously Pagey's a massive loss, but we've got Ben Perrington who can come in. But Anike, I've really liked what I've seen from him. Thought he was really good in the game against Villa up until that injury as well. And like we've said, we've only got Lyle up front, apart from McCauley, and I can't see him starting. It'd be a bold decision to play him. So you're looking at probably someone like Johnny Williams having to play off Lyle Taylor. Unless we do a bit of business tomorrow and get someone in, or Harriet signs. So it's going to be up front where we struggle. Defensively, I think, as I say, we've got that cover for Page. But again, if you're going to have a small squad and Bowyer wants to push them and get them fit, you're going to take this risk with injuries. And unfortunately, that's just how we've been. How long have we been saying that on this show? Ever since Roland took over, we've had a small squad, and every time we've struggled with injuries. So it's no surprise, but to get them this early on is obviously frustrating.
So how do we set up on Saturday then? We've seen a couple of different formations. Are we going to go with a three at the back, or with wing backs? Are we going to go a four at the back with a diamond? You know, who's your first choice goalkeeper? That's an interesting one. Dylan's been given the number one shirt, so do you assume he starts on Saturday? And, you know, does McCauley Bond come straight in to start? I mean, it sounded from what Bowyer was saying, it sounds like he won't. I mean, there are a few decisions you've got to make there, Lewis, and I'm putting them all on you now.
On me. Yeah. I've got to pick the side. Yeah. I'd stick with Dills in goal. I think after last season and everything, I think you've got to give him that opportunity. I'd probably go three at the back. Lockyer. I'd play Piercy. I think it'd be really important to play Jason Pierce. And then Naby, and then Perrington. and Jigstill as wingbacks. And then it's probably going to be Prattley, Forster-Caskey, Lapsley, I imagine. And then maybe Williams and Lyle up top.
Yeah.
Or Williams just off him.
Now, is there anyone in particular you want to see in the starting lineup? Do you start Pearcey? Do you start Nabby?
I wouldn't play Nabs.
You wouldn't?
Nope.
No?
I'd play Deji, Lockie and Pearcey.
Pearcey. I didn't realise that makes you also.
James Pearcey? Yeah. He's signing tomorrow. Exclusive. James Pearcey. I'll do that. I wouldn't start Bond because I think if you've... He's not ready, as Bo said, and if you need to chase a game and you've got two strikers on, you ain't going to be having... You need some bit of pace off the bench. So I can imagine Williams playing just off Lyle. There's not much else you can do, really, with the squad we've got.
Yeah. All right, so we've got 10 seconds each. A quick preview, Tom. A prediction.
Full preview.
1-0.
1-0. Lou?
1-0 Charlton.
Nath?
0-0.
0-0. There we go. So unbeaten. Brilliant. Brilliant. I'll take a 0-0 right now. I'll bite your hand off for it. Right, this has been Charlton Live, the big match preview. Don't forget, we'll be back with our full Charlton Live show on Sunday evening on Maritime Radio. You can join us live here at 7 o'clock. All of our shows are, of course, available on podcast as well, so make sure you subscribe to us on Acast or on iTunes or wherever you want to get your podcast shows. Right, this has been Big Match Preview. I've been Louis Mendes. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back here on Sunday evening. Let's hope that the Addicts can get off to a good start to life back in the Championship. We'll see you on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.